Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
I want to introduce our speaker today, Colleen, and invite her to come and share with us today. Colleen is the only covenant missionary that we have in Argentina, believe it or not. And she is supported by this church and other Canadian churches in particular and individuals. Colleen is from Nelson area, so she's a Kootenai person, and we're excited to claim her as our own. But she's been serving down in Argentina now for 7 years. And she's been through some amazing experiences down there, and she supports a number of churches and pastors and communities down there. And it's just really exciting to have you here today, Colleen. So come on up, and I'm going to pray for you as you share with us today. Colleen's going to give us a sense of how things are going down there, but also she's going to bring us an encouraging word as well. So let me pray for her. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for our sister Colleen and ask your blessing upon her now as she shares. And on the ministry that's ongoing down in Argentina, we think of the challenges that face our brothers and sisters down there. We only vaguely know what they are, but we know that it's exciting for us to partner with and support Colleen, who is in the trenches with them, supporting them as they seek to love you and love others in their context. And so would you just bless Colleen now as she shares with us? May we be encouraged through her and just get a greater sense of your work that is being done through her, through your people in Argentina. We bless her and thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. Buen dia. I bring you greetings from Argentina, from all of the churches there. This is really wonderful for me to be back here to see so many faces that I do recognize and so many new faces as well. And to hear about the preschool, and this is exciting. This is exciting. I am a Kootenai girl. We moved up from North Vancouver. I'm born and raised in North Van. So born and raised in North Vancouver. My husband was born and raised in Langley. And then in 2000, we moved up to the Kootenais, Balfour, the Junction. Part of the Junction church plant was our introduction to the Covenant Church. And just to back up a little bit, I did not grow up in a Christian home, did not come to know Christ until both of us were in our mid-20s. So before that, we lived a life of an adventure. After we came to know Christ, it was still a life of adventure, but in a much healthier way. And it has just been absolutely amazing. You know, we came into the covenant, we served wherever God needed us. Never had kids, and we were never to be sent anywhere. That was our one thing we specifically said, do not send us. We will pray, we will support, we will donate, but we will not go. God just laughs at us sometimes. And it came to a point where we had finished building a house, had our own idea for having property and camps. But we knew that that wasn't it when we finished the house. And Canada Conference has their annual Ecuador trip, as some of you have gone on. And it always fell in March, spring break. My background is accounting, so my excuse was that I could not leave my clients. After we finished the house, we made the decision, open hands and a surrendered heart. We were saying yes to God. We committed. That very next year, it was at the end of February, I had one client get mad at me. That was it. And we came back just with the desire to serve God more. At that time, all of our parents were gone. Again, we had no kids. So we could do more. So our idea was to travel 6 months serving God. Max even had the idea of converting a school bus, putting the bikes on it, and going south. And then being back in Canada 6 months to self-fund. We hadn't learned yet about the whole partnering and introducing people to sharing God's ministry with us. We talked with Merge Ministries, who, as you know, is the covenant department that organizes those short-term mission trips, and we asked, could we join some other churches this year? Could we go? And we explained the six-month idea. Dale Less said, well, there's a team going to Nicaragua and one going to Ecuador. Let's ask them both and see who says yes. They both said yes. So we didn't look at a map. We said, okay, one week after another, we can do the little hop. And that was 1 month of just wonderful ministry. And at the same time, Dale came back to us and said, I have 3 months for you in Argentina. 4 months now. We said we'd say yes. So we said yes and then figured out how to work the house, the mortgage, everything. And in the end, we came down to downsizing everything. And that was our call to sell it all. In the middle of Argentina, God just grabbed my heart. Again, still thinking six months, right? God just grabbed my heart so strong and told me, I don't want this part-time, I want full-time. At that time, Max and I, we had been together for 26 years, going on 26 years, getting up there, and we were together, best friends. We did everything together. And I was afraid to tell him. Was this the time when now we went different ways or had different visions, different life? So I took time, about 2 weeks, praying about it. And then one morning in a devotional about obedience, God just kind of poked. And so I had to tell Max that I think God has another plan. And Max leaned forward, oh yeah. And so I told him, and he starts laughing because about 2 weeks before, God smacked him upside the head and told him the same thing. And it was so wonderful that we were moving into missions together. And we came back, we went through the process of discerning this call. Where I live now in Bariloche is very similar to the Kootenays, so that was a big part of our discerning process. But we discerned, we prayed, and yes, we were going full time. It wasn't going to be 6 months. So we had the wonderful last year together in Canada, traveling around to the churches. Max, who at that time was working in the oil field, he got to work from home that year. He was working for YRB, so every night he was at home. He painted the Nelson Church. If you've ever been there upstairs, those brightly colored walls and doors, that's what's happened when you ask a South American missionary to choose the colors. And it's lovely to see. And in that time, we traveled all around. God was so much in the details, selling Max's excavator, the trailer. We were home 1 week, and it sold. Everything was just so prepared until the last day that we had together. On September 13th, driving home, we got home, and unfortunately, Max passed away that night. God had another mission for him. At that time, my life obviously turned upside down. I didn't know how to serve God. I didn't know what to do. How would I live without my best friend? Could I live without my best friend? And I knew that I would serve God, but I didn't know how. And one night we had our motorbikes in the basement and just sitting on top of his. Those we were not selling, by the way. They were coming with us. But sitting on top of Max's bike and just having a childish temper tantrum with God. Did we hear you wrong? We were serving Max. For those of you that got to meet him, you know he was all in. And serving. And God just really spoke to me. He reminded me of my call, that he already told me how to serve him. And that gave me such a peace in the middle of chaos. I didn't know how it was going to come together or when. I didn't even know where I was going to live after the end of October that year because the house had sold. But I knew that I was going to be a missionary. I was going to serve God in Argentina. And he just organized everything. And to be able to serve God there in Argentina, and I want to share a little bit about the ministries that we do there, it has been such an amazing life, and is, that I want to encourage all of you, whatever you're going through, as odd as it sounds to say, it's worth it. God does amazing things out of our difficulties, out of our challenges, out of those circumstances that you just really want to escape or that you want to change. And there's so much that has happened in my life, but more importantly, in the lives of others because of what happened with Max, that I don't know if it could change. But it has given me that opportunity to go back to Argentina. I went there in 2018, talking with Danielle this morning that it's been 7 years since we were having lunch together. But it has just been wonderful to be there, to be a part of families there. It is a very family culture there. But to be back with people that met Max, that we spent time with, to live with them, fully immersed. I have my own home now, so they know that I am not just parachuting in. I'm there for a few years and then gone. I'm there as long as God has me there, until he calls me somewhere else. So I have my own home. I have my own vehicle, which right now our seasons are reverse. So they are in winter. When I left on June 22nd, it was starting to snow. So I've escaped. I'm not complaining on the heat. But it gives me the chance, and you know, being a Kootenai girl, driving the Kootenai Pass, I get to love on them and drive them around in the winter. I've got good snow tires. Many of them don't have good vehicles or just do not drive in the snow. So I can go around to the different barrios, the different neighborhoods, and pick up families, take them to church, take them to the ladies' study, the kids getting to their Sunday school, which we do a VBS on Saturdays, and make sure that they get there safely and home again at night. And even just to accompany people to doctors or to hospitals, visits, sit with them in life, has been such an amazing ministry. We have something called, in Argentina, it's a very proud culture, so of course we put our own spin on things. For those of you that are familiar with CHET, the Hispanic Theological Center in California, they have a great number of seminary courses. In Argentina, 2 years ago, we were able to access that. So through our Centro de Capacitación, we are doing the Life of Christ pre-ministerial course right now. And in November, we will have our first graduating class of 37, which is so wonderful. And every year at the moment, for the next 5 years, we will have substantial graduating classes. I'm part of that leadership board as well as one of the teachers and tutors. So that's why this ministry assignment is really quick, so that I can get back there for the start of their next semester. And just being able to be a part of the classes there, support them, has been so wonderful to see leaders, just their desire, their hunger to learn the Bible, to understand those references, how to read the Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament, those references, little basic things like that that maybe we take for granted here. But really, not everybody knows that when they get their first Bible. What are all those little numbers and letters and the notes at the bottom? So we really get to dive in to the Word and study it and apply it. We have 10 churches in Argentina, 5 in the north, 5 in the south. I live in the south, so my main ministry is in the south, in San Carlos de Bariloche, but I do travel to the north as well. And this year, they are celebrating 20 years. So in November, we are tying in the 20-year anniversary along with the graduation. And I ask for prayer for that during that time for them. I also have the wonderful privilege of working alongside the ladies there, the youth, with youth camp studies, the ladies. We had our national retreat in November, and just seeing how God worked in so many of them, God gave them the courage to be able to fundraise and save up for many of them their very first flight. And that was so wonderful to be a part of and see. We have taught on bless, on the affirmations, on the administration of churches as well, the side of treasurer and the transparency. It is a lot that they are learning down there, and it is just amazing to see the growth in so many of them. And in September, I've been invited up to Florencia Valela to teach about bless, but they've asked me to teach about bless not as we use it to evangelize, but how do we live it out as Christ? How do we reflect him? So that is just an amazing time to see how people are so focused on Christ and being his hands and feet. There is English. A lot of English comes to be more tutoring. Kids that are in school, we sit down, we have some small groups, and we practice English, and they get lessons. They really understand what it is that they're reading, writing, speaking. They're not just filling in the blanks as they record down what the teacher's written on the board. There's several groups with the older youth where we get together and we go for mate and coffee, or mate in English or coffee in English, and we talk all in English. We talk about the Sunday sermon. We talk about the Bible study. We talk about school, politics sometimes. We talk about the different cultures, the different ways that we say things, expressions. And we talk about life. And that is really special for me. And now one of our youth, Ezekiel, he is now in Japan. I think Jan will remember talking with Ezekiel. He's in Japan now. And when he was finishing his university, a priority for him, for his next step, where is there a covenant church? Where is my church family? And that was, for me to hear a youth putting that as a priority, was just amazing. And he is there now with the Tokyo Life Covenant Church. He's at the University of Tokyo. And it's just, it's amazing to see how God has moved through his life. Again, as I said, I have my own home, which is an area of retreat. I host people. We've had 14 people stay at my home when we've had youth retreats one weekend. So anyone that wants to come down, please, there is room. If you want to, a group to come down, it will be organized through Merge. I'm there on the ground, so you have a familiar face. I have the language. Again, I have my own vehicle. A big part of when I bought my home was to give pastors and leaders a retreat space, a space where they could come to and take off their hat. They could just relax, and it is a safe place for their conversations. And God has given me that privilege to support them, to be able just to listen to them, to pray with them. For families in the church, they know that my house is open for them. And that is just such a part of ministry that I really hope that you can understand, that being present with people, living life with them, you celebrate with them, you cry with them, but you are there. And for many of the churches down there, it is so important for them. They know that you're praying for them. They know that from way the other end of the world, there is a church praying for them, thinking about them even, that there's a Canadian down there. Again, I am the only covenant missionary there, so it can be a bit overwhelming sometimes. So those connections that I get with each of you is really important, and I would say that is important for all of your missionaries, wherever you are supporting. Those little notes that you send, a text or a small email, is so important for them, to encourage them. And I don't know how you guys arrived today. How was your week? How's your heart today? What is it that you're going through? Has it been a summer of just wonderful, you know, everything going right? Has it been a challenging summer? Has it been a year where you're ready for it to be December 31st already? Let's just get this over with. No? Has it been challenging in work or in school? Wherever you are, I hope that in Psalm 13, the words of David will bring you a bit of comfort. For those of you that know me a bit, you might know I love the Psalms. I love David and how open and honest he is. He lays it all out. He throws it at God's feet. His frustrations, his anger, his demands. But he also recognizes who God is, and he always ends with joy and praise and acknowledging God in the middle of whatever he is going through. And when we read Psalm 13, and all of my notes are in Spanish, so I apologize if anything Spanish comes out, but I've really been trying, and I've had a few weeks of English already, so that transition from Spanish to English has happened a bit. But in Psalm 13, David says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." Amen. You know, in all of these times, just like David, we can go to our Father and we can throw everything at his feet, whether it's something that we are so excited about or something that we are so worried about or angry about or frustrated or worried. We can do that. Our Father wants us to come to him. And he knows everything. He knows what's in our hearts. And he is just that loving, loving Father. No? When you go to your best friend to talk with them, whether it's something really exciting, whether it's that new job, getting accepted into that university, or it's something that's really worrying, how do you feel when you are able just to unload? We would say in Spanish that we take off the backpack. You know, how do you feel at those times? How much better are you going to feel when you do that with God? And it is just the peace that he gives you, you know? I like the Spanish version because of the conjugations. It puts a little bit more emphasis sometimes on the words. And four times we hear David saying, "How long?" You know, he is asking. He is demanding. It's an action. It's not just a, how long is this going to take? It is something really personal with him, and he is waiting. At the same time, he is asking and demanding almost a response. He says, "Look on me, answer." Now, in the Spanish, "mira me, responde me." It's an order. He is expecting an answer. No? He is desperate, and his anguish is so profound that he is to that point. Oh, and you can almost hear him saying, "God, where are you? Please hurry up." No? I don't know if any of you can relate to that, to those times when you are asking, "How long?" And you almost want to say, "God, look at me. Look at the situation. Look at what's happening with this family." But we can ask God that, and we can at the same time know that he is in control if we give him control. That is the other side of it. We have an action on our side too. We don't just pray. We don't just ask God. There is an action on our part too. And we have to give him that control on it. It takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? In this world, in this age, we want answers right away. Everything is in God's time, and God's time is perfect. Whether he is preparing you, whether he is preparing other people or places or situations, you can have that bold, confident faith that God is preparing. He will use, whether it is something so exciting that you're jumping out of your skin and you're jumping up and down and pinching yourself, he's going to use all of that. Maybe not in your life, maybe it's in the life of somebody else. Huh? I know for myself, I want the answer now. You know, I want to know. Before, I was a person who I needed to have everything planned out. When we went into missions and we started talking about that, I was already doing the budget. I was already figuring out, okay, what do we need to think about? You know, the mortgage, the house, how do we do this? How do we that? How does it come together? How do trips come together? You know, even planning this very quick trip. Normally, I would have things planned months in advance and know exactly how plane tickets booked, all of that. I am very much more Argentinian now. So if anyone is late when I'm here, I take full responsibility for that. That would be me. But it is just amazing when we give complete control to God, how he puts things in place exactly when they need to be. You know, and it comes across too with faith, having that complete faith. And you know, what is that? What is that confidence? And when you look it up in the dictionary, it is a complete, absolute trust in someone or something. Do we have that in our God? Do we have that in life? I hear some people say, no, I'm not a person of faith. I don't believe in that. But really you are. When you drive down the street, you have a huge amount of faith that the person coming the other way, God willing, is going to stay in their lane, right? We have a huge faith, whether we know it or not. We also have a faith when you are out, whether it's out on a motorbike going down a trail, whether it's out doing a long run or a hike, you're on that trail and you are going. You know where you need to end up. But what happens between that start position and the end, you don't know. And when you get to a part in the trail that's washed out, that's really rough, full of mud, do you stop and sit there and wait for God to clean it up? Do you turn around and go back and no, this way isn't the right way? No. You either go through that mud and muck or you find a way around it. Sometimes the way around it is what God wants. Other times we're avoiding what God needs us to find in that muck. But we do not stop. We keep going. And then David ends. He has this but. And that word but, it always tells us that something is going to change. And for the most part, when we read that word but, however, it's usually something much better, something greater, something amazing. And David does. Well, he tells us, but in spite of everything that he is demanding, that he is asking God, how long, all of this desperation, this anguish, this fear, he says, but. Well, I trust in your unfailing love. He recognizes God's unfailing love, that God is not going to leave him. He is not going to fail him. Oh, a good friend once told me, God doesn't make mistakes. And we can trust in that. Oh, his heart rejoices in his salvation. And that for myself personally, and I challenge everyone, when you are in those times of waiting, does your heart rejoice? That's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to have joy in the middle of it. But we can, and David shows us that. You know, I will sing the Lord's praise. When we are going through tough times, do we put on the worship music, crank it full volume, and sing? Or do we stay stewing in that negative? You know, what do we fill our minds and our hearts with? And he ends, for God has been good to me. He acknowledges all the greatness that God has done for him. And how much more do we need to do that? Oh, God's mercy, his love in every moment. Oh, we can trust in him. We can know that in spite of everything, God is at work. He is doing something. And I so want to encourage everybody for that. Just to go back to the scriptures, to see how David, how others, how Paul. Paul went out and preached to people that he was just possibly a few months before chasing them to kill them. And here he is preaching about Christ. But he still did that. And we can have a faith. We can have joy all the time. And sometimes it takes effort on our part. Sometimes we have to just stop, take a breath, and just know that God's got us. Maybe it's everyone will have something. Maybe it's reading scripture. Maybe it's listening to a song. Maybe it's talking to someone to get our focus back, to get that joy back. But it is possible and it's necessary that we do that. And then the last thing is that it's necessary that we obey whatever God is calling you to do. In my mind, everybody is a missionary in their own calling. God calls you to serve him, to serve the children that are here, camp, your neighbors, your singing. That is all ministry. For those of you, you live life with each other, with people at school, with people at work, with your neighbors, being able to bring someone to church and have that joy. That is ministry. That is living life together. That is being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I want all of you to know that whatever your part is, it's not a little thing that you're doing. It's big. It doesn't have to be a great, big, huge project. Just living life as Christ lived it is such a huge, huge ministry. Thank you all so much for this time. If you have questions about Argentina, please ask. I think there's maybe a little time afterwards. I'm open to questions, whatever it may be. I've got some prayer cards, and just thank you all for your prayers. That is that intangible support that it's really hard to explain. But when you take that time to pray for somebody, to pray for a missionary, to pray for others, is huge. And like I said, those notes, those connections, those little texts. We use WhatsApp a lot down there. It's free. And everything gets back and forth. Regular texts internationally don't always work. Email I am working on. I'm not always the most consistent because I have to sit down and get to it. But on my phone, WhatsApp, and just having that connection, having that encouragement is absolutely wonderful. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the time that people take to send a little message, share about life. And it goes back and forth the other way. Please let me know how I can be praying for all of you as well, as we are connected in God's ministry. For those of you that are thinking maybe of coming, please explore that. Ask questions if you are coming as an individual or a family or as a group. It can be made to happen. My house is open. I love to receive people. I love to share the culture there, the families. They are just, I could probably speak for an hour just about the families and the events, and you really have to experience. I think Jen can speak to that. It's one thing to hear about it, but to experience the families that are there and their love and how they love God and how much Christ is working in their life, not just the ministry projects that are there. And I also want to thank you all for your financial support too. That is a huge encouragement personally, but more importantly, you are participating in God's kingdom down there. That support is what allows his work to be done there, whether it is Bibles, whether it is putting an extra tank of gas in the vehicle to go and drive 4 hours with somebody. It is ministry. It is giving a scholarship so that someone can pay for their book, for the CHET course, and be able to continue that, to be able to assist someone who's doing a Bible study, the Spanish commentaries, The economy down there is all over the place, but all of that support really helps God's kingdom there, and you are a part of that. So thank you so much for that.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericsoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.